Portions of this program are made possible in part by listeners like you and by Winston Hills Ribs and Stuff, 5090 East Arapahoe Road, Centennial, Colorado. For more information, if you're in the Denver metro area, give them a call at 303-843-6475 or visit the website at www.winstonhillsribsandstuff.net.
By The Modern Gladiator, an online men's lifestyle magazine featuring straight-ahead, hard-hitting articles geared at today's modern male. For more information, visit the website at www.themoderngladiator.com.
The Father Show. I'm your host, Mike Thompson. This is the show that is guaranteed to change your life right here on Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Or you might be joining us on YouTube. Either way, glad to have you. We've got a fantastic show for you today. This is going to be one that is good for the men and the women because I've got a young lady here by the name of Sherry Midico. All right. So Sherry Midico is a wellness professional success coach. And she has won an awards in 2014 and 2015. She has been awarded Best Weight Loss Clinic in Greenwood Village, right here in Colorado, and won the Thumbtack Award for Best Fitness in 2015 as well. Right. So glad to have you.
Thank
Welcome.
You. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, pleasure. So tell everybody, you know, I gave a little bit about you, and I know there's a lot more to it. So why don't you tell people out there, who is Sherry Midico?
Well, I am specialized in weight loss coaching. I've been a weight loss coach, personal trainer for 15, 16 years now. So mm-hmm. I've been in the business a while. My program is called The Diet Terminator because I'm totally against dieting. It's all about real lifestyle changes that people can stick with and not depriving yourself of all the things that you love, because you'll never succeed if you do that. If you tell yourself, I can never have pasta again, or I can never have bread again, you will just, that is unrealistic. So I help people fine-tune what health and wellness is and get it, help them figure it out into implementing it into their personal lifestyle. Yeah. So it's not about giving them a program to follow, because everyone's lifestyle is very different and very, very hectic. So how do we actually find the things that are going to work for them in their, you know, based on what's important to them and things that they can actually manage and follow? So if someone doesn't have much time during the day, you don't tell someone, well, you have to exercise an hour every day, right? Mm-hmm. So it's implementing those small changes that are going to make a big difference.
Yeah. And I agree with you 100%. I know with, you know, my schedule is different than even my wife's schedule.
Right.
And even though we try to do a lot of stuff together, even working out, we sometimes can't. And I don't like the word, and I know a lot of men, we don't like the word diet. And women don't either, to be honest with it.
But they're always on one.
But you say, you know, you say diet to a woman, they, yeah, but men, it's like, no.
No.
So I like the fact that, you know, it's not a diet, your Diet Terminator program. Mm-hmm. It's not a diet per se. It's learning to eat better.
Right.
And that's why I wanted to have Sherry on the show, because I know this is beginning of the year. Everybody's setting goals. Everybody wants to, you know, not everybody, because I'm not but they want to lose weight and they want to get to their desired weight. And it's great, but, you know, like you said, when you deprive yourself of certain foods that you love, mm-hmm. and a lot of people love bread, and I'm definitely one of them. So to tell me that I can't have bread anymore because I don't need the carbs, it's like, you know, send me in depression, why don't you?
Right.
Yeah, so, but learning to eat it moderately is important.
Right.
And the way to go. I agree. So what are some of the common mistakes people make when wanting to get in better shape?
Well, I see it a lot, especially this time of year, right? Where mm-hmm. the gym just fills up. Suddenly, everybody's got good intentions and everyone buys their gym membership at the first of the year. Mm-hmm. And the gym is flooded with everybody. And then you see them really working hard. And so I think the number one thing that most people do is they overdo it. They jump in head first without having a plan of action that's going to sustain them for the long term. So if they jump in the first week of January and they work out, they haven't worked out in 4 years, and then they suddenly start exercising for an hour and a half for 5 days in a row, of course they're sore, they're in pain, mm-hmm. And then they're expecting all these results because they've worked their butt off. And what happens at the end of the week? They didn't see the scale change and they decided it was too much torture, so they don't go back.
Yeah. So what would you say for, like for men out there, I'm definitely one. Mm-hmm. And I've been through that scenario where I get to the gym and I haven't been in a while. Just let it go at that. In a while.
Yeah.
But I get there and I work out so hard. And you know that testosterone is moving. You know, you got the other fellas in there lifting heavy weights. You don't want to be
right.
sure. You don't want to be showed out. So you get in there and lift heavy weights as well.
Yeah.
Then you're sore.
Right.
You know, I've done it where so bad, really, I worked on my triceps that the next day I couldn't even comb my hair.
Yeah.
I couldn't even put a cap on because it was like, come here. I couldn't move my arms, literally. What would you tell men other than don't do that? But what would suggest to men how to overcome that or do it better?
Yeah. The number one thing would to be, well, one, even if you decide you're going to get caught up in the competition of the gym and the, you know, it is a little bit fun, right? You're mm-hmm. kind of, there's the camaraderie there. Everyone's after the same thing. So you do get that energy from that. So I don't want to discourage that completely, but notice how hard you're pushing yourself and that you're, you know, paying attention to, am I having the right form over the proper weight, you're actually going to get more out of it that way. And maybe instead of starting off gung-ho and doing 3 or 4 sets of everything, if you're lifting weights, you know, starting out with maybe 1 or 2 sets and then doing some stretching when you're mm-hmm. done to make sure you're getting those muscles, the lactic acid out of the muscles when you're finished exercising, because that's part of the soreness.
Mm-hmm.
And then drinking lots of water to get the blood.
We had to go there, didn't we?
Yes.
We had that discussion before the show.
Absolutely. Water is key. And recovery from the gym is also key. So eating the right things after you exercise, which is my preference is eating fruit and a little bit of protein afterwards.
Yeah.
And the fruit is important because it has the antioxidants and it helps repair your muscles. And then taking the following day off, resting, letting your muscles repair before you go at it maybe 2 days later or 3 days later. So also taking your age into account and knowing how quickly your body can recover.
Now, when you say take that break, isn't that kind of dangerous in lack of a better way of putting it, because you know, you work out, you mm-hmm. take 2 or 3 days off, and then you're like, go back to the gym, you're like, yeah, no. So
yeah.
Something's on TV tonight, football game's on tonight.
Right.
So
if you have the all or nothing personality type, my recommendation would then be to work different muscles, different bodies, you know, work your legs one day. If you're going to do strength training, for instance,
mm-hmm.
work your legs one day, work some upper body, you know, arms and chest the next day, or back and biceps the following day. So you can rotating it, and then maybe throwing some cardiovascular in there, maybe doing some stretching in there to where you're getting a more well-rounded program, to where you're not only doing one particular thing or beating up on one muscle group per se, but actually getting that balance from it.
Yeah, because I know a lot of men, especially my age generation, we have, you know, that's the way we were trained, to work out the lower half of your body one day, and then tomorrow you can work out your upper body.
Right.
And then go back and forth like that, so that you're not working your muscles. I mean, I know a lot of guys, we will bench press every time we go in.
Yes.
And then we go to the legs.
Right.
But we're going to work on the chest first, and then go to the, and we do that all, virtually every day.
Mm-hmm. So if you're that person, you want to remember that your muscles actually grow when they're resting and recovering. They don't actually grow in the gym. So when you lift the weight, you actually break down the muscles. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually how they get bigger and stronger, is not during the lift, but beyond that, after you're done with the exercise, the recovery portion is where your muscles basically recover and prepare for the next workout. So that's why it's important to not just go as heavy as you can every time, but you do want to push yourself so that the next time in the gym, if you've recovered properly, you'll be able to lift a little bit more and a little bit more if that cycle is done in the right manner.
Okay. And that's what you want to get, is to lift a little bit more every time you go to the gym, and not kill yourself in the process.
Right.
I know it. But here we don't understand that.
Right.
We don't even communicate. We just go to the gym and work out, and then come back the next day crying.
Well, that's how you want to work it. That's fine with me.
It don't make sense. We know better. We know we're not supposed to do it that way, but I know I've done it that way for years, and I know good and well I'm not supposed to do that. I know the after effects, but I get in there and it's like, okay, push myself. Now that I've gotten older, a little bit more wiser, I don't do it as much. But we got to take a quick break. If you are watching the show and you need resources, go to the Father Show Resource Program website at www.thefathershow.org and find the resources that you need. Click on your state and go and look, and there's something there. If not, give us a shout on the email and we will definitely try to help you find the resources that you need. But you're watching The Father Show, and we're here with Sherry Medico. I'm going to get that right up. We're going to work on that on the break. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, and you have just tuned back in to The Father Show, and we're here today with Sherry Medico. Right?
Very close. Very close. You got it.
And she's a wellness professional success coach, and she is also a trainer. And we're talking today about, I hate to use the word, but diet, for lack of a better word, but she wants to teach us how to eat normal and live happy. And that's her thing, and that's what she believes. And I do, too. I don't think we should cut out anything that we like. We just have to do it in moderation. You don't want to eat a bucket of ice cream every day. You don't want to eat a loaf of bread every day. Every now and then, that's fine.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
All right. So what is the best diet out there?
Well, I think you alluded to it, is that's the thing about diets, is there's a lot of research out there on varying diets. You know, a lot of them work for a lot of different people for the, you know, usually for the short term because no one wants to stick to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But what people don't take into consideration is based on the person's gender, age, even personality mm-hmm. traits mm-hmm. Makes for different dieting, you know, different types of diets work better for certain people.
Yeah.
So one of the things I like to do is help people decipher not what diet works for them, but paying attention to what foods make them feel good or what foods make them feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And really paying attention to getting that personalized what's right for me versus following a specific diet. So it takes a little bit of time and a little bit of paying attention and keeping track of a few things. But, you know, it's pretty easy once you are paying attention to your body and what you're eating or not eating, how good you can feel or how bad you feel if you have certain foods. You know, there's a lot of food intolerances out there these days. So, you know, a lot of people feel good initially, let's say, when they eat sugar. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I help people with is overcome sugar addiction. So sugar is a very addicting substance. We turn to it for a lot of different reasons, right? It gives us that feel good. We're stressed out at work, so we need a break, go get a candy bar or something. And you might feel good for that little bit, right? It gives you that little bit of burst of energy or feel good or sugar high.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens 20 minutes later? Well, most people crash, get lethargic, and then
they need more sugar.
Right. Well, that's the drive. Sugar creates more sugar cravings. So if you're paying attention to that, you can really see how your body reacts. And if you start to change that and fuel your system with something that's healthier and is going to sustain you longer, you'll notice your focus is better and you physically feel better and mentally feel better than getting that charge from the sugar.
Now, let me ask you, because I always have this question when I see people that have dieted and have lost a lot of weight and they don't look right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know the way I look at it, like, you have a DNA. Your DNA is going to kind of dictate your body weight. And I don't know if people take that in consideration, you know, male or female. You know, I look at Luther. Yeah, and Luther Vandross, and Luther lost all that weight, and his head just didn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't look right on his body. And I've seen people lose weight, and they really don't look right, because I truly believe their DNA, their body structure, is for them to carry a little bit more weight.
Right. Not mm-hmm. everyone is meant to be a stick. That's for sure. That's absolutely for sure. So I really focus on helping people pay attention to whether or not they're really hungry or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit hard to explain, because if you're one of the things I deal with the Diet Terminator a lot is people's overeating triggers. So a lot of people eat when they're stressed, bored, sad, lonely, emotional, sit in front of the TV and mindlessly eat the bag of chips or whatever, and suddenly it's gone. And so, you know, sometimes in this case, the TV could actually be the trigger to feel hungry, even mm-hmm. though, because your brain knows that you're going to give it the bag of chips when you sit down for the television. But it's sort of like a Pavlov's dog theory, that if your brain knows you're going to give it food, it will send your mouth watering, but you won't necessarily be physically hungry or where your stomach's growling.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've been through that.
Yeah. So you could crave the chips every time you sit down to watch TV, but you may not actually be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So helping people decipher, okay, well, you may want a snack at that time, but do you really want the chips? Or if you're going to allow yourself the chips and have them in moderation, can you pour them in a bowl and then bring the bowl in front of the TV and actually enjoy the chips? That's to moderation to me, is actually having it in a portion.
Yeah, because I'd even know for myself, there's times where I've just had dinner and maybe 30 minutes later, it's like, you know, I want something to snack on. Mm-hmm. I'm not hungry.
Right.
But I just feel like I want something to snack on. What is that?
Well, depending on what you ate previously, you could have a crash in your blood sugar where you're actually looking for the carbohydrates again. Mm-hmm. And it could just be where, you're used to having a snack. Or some people grew up having dessert after dinner all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's a habitual craving. So where they want something sweet after they have a meal. So it could be something along those lines.
Yeah. And I know certain meals, it triggers, you know, having something sweet. Mm-hmm. I'm not a sweet eater. The only real vice that I have when it comes to sweets is a peach cobbler. You put a peach cobbler, I don't care if I stuff myself. I'm going to find some room to put that peach cobbler in. So, but it's, you know, a lot of people I know would have that issue of with certain foods. You want certain things. I tease my wife because, you know, she's Spanish and we have Mexican food. I want a beer. It's just something about Mexican food.
Goes with it.
I want a beer. Yeah, it goes with it.
Absolutely. And I think it's good to notice those things because that goes to the point that I was making earlier about enjoying those things in moderation. Mm-hmm. So saying, oh, you know, knowing I want a beer every time we have Mexican food is fine. So, you know, without going off the deep end on, you know, having too many beers, you know, making the decision before you sit down to eat how many beers you're going to allow and that kind of thing. So getting back to eating, if you're only eating when you're hungry as well, that person's body, like you were saying, would automatically decide how big or small it should be for them, their mm-hmm. ideal body weight. Mm-hmm. So if you're not being triggered to overeat, and you're eating the right amounts and portions for you only when you're hungry, the body weight takes care of itself.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I know for men and women out there, one of the things that we have is that belly fat. And I've definitely got that belly fat. What is the best exercise to flatten your stomach?
Yeah. So the thing about exercise is you can't spot reduce. So you could do 1,000 crunches every day for a year, and it might not change the actual body fat around your middle. Mm-hmm. But you would overall probably see, because you were burning calories during that exercise time, you would probably be burning some fat during that time. So that's really the key, is having a good, well-rounded exercise program. Now, note that hormones play a big factor in belly fat. So stress is a big component to specific carrying a little weight extra around the middle. So there's something that you probably heard a lot called cortisol. Mm-hmm. So cortisol, when we're stressed, and we're stressed on a regular basis, as we are in our society, mm-hmm. Our body automatically pumps cortisol in our system all day, every day, as long as we're stressed all day, every day. And it was fine when we were running from lions and tigers, right? If you're looking at the human DNA, it hasn't changed much from sitting at desks from being, hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
So we were able to take on the cortisol because it wasn't constant. Nowadays, it's constant, and it just slowly adds that belly fat on us. So a lot of the belly fat problem is actually reducing your stress and learning how to manage your stress better. That actually has a huge impact on the belly fat itself.
Yeah. Now, a question, mm-hmm. and we probably have to bring it into the next segment, but being that, like, I know eating beans can increase your belly. Mm-hmm. And how do you then quit eating beans? How can you stop getting bloated from eating beans? Is there a way to do that?
You can. It could be a digestive issue, so you could eat digestive enzymes with them. You could also couple them with other foods, so you're not eating as much of them. So, you know, adding a protein with it, or are you eating the beans alone or with beans and rice, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And it could be something your body doesn't like. So. You may have to take that into account. I hate telling people that, but my suggestion wouldn't be to give them up, but to try them out with a digestive enzyme or something
right,
like that.
All right. Hey, well, we'll talk a little bit more. Okay. We got to take another break. And when we get back, we will continue to talk with Sherry about ways that we, men and women, can help ourselves in our weight and our living a healthy life and being happy in our life by having the being at the designed weight that we would like to be. So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. The Father Show, and we are here today. We have the honor of having Sherry Mitico. And she is a wellness professional success coach, and she has also been awarded Thumbtack Award for Best Fitness Trainer in 2015. So I am very happy to have her here on the show today, and we're talking about ways that we can eat normal and live a happy life. And this is her expertise, and she's been giving us a lot of great ideas. And we were talking about how can we flatten our stomach, and what's the best way. And I know we were talking about food is an issue. What are some of the other demons that cause us to have bloatiness, you know, a bigger stomach than we would like to have?
Yeah, and actually, lots of foods cause bloating. So, and it's really very sensitive to each person. So a lot of individual needs, if you notice, bloating. So one of the biggest ones is actually gluten, in wheat products. And, you know, it's just the changes in the wheat throughout the years. It's become, we've gotten, the gluten in today's wheat is much different from the amounts of gluten that was in when, you know, 20 years ago when we were eating bread. So it's actually changed, which is why the intolerance level of gluten is so much higher now than it used to be. But that's a very big cause of feeling bloated. And so that's also in beer. Okay. Beer can cause bloating.
I didn't hear that.
And some people feel bloating. And you mentioned it before the break about beans or, and other foods such as dairy causes some digestive issues very commonly. Some people feel bloated from sugar. When I eat too much sugar, I actually, my fingers actually swell up. It actually causes inflammation in the whole system. Mm-hmm. So some people will feel it in different areas of their body. So it can. So if you have an injury, let's say you have a knee injury that's been bothering you from sports or something, and you may notice when you eat certain foods, it'll flare up. It's probably caused from some kind of food that you've eaten that caused specific inflammation in your joint, heightening the pain.
So ultimately, the biggest thing that I'm hearing is really pay attention to what you're eating and the effect that it has on you. You mentioned that earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know I don't pay attention. Really, I just noticed certain things would happen And I look at it and say, wow, why is that happening? And don't really pay attention to the as of when or what. Now, the gluten diet, you know, a lot of people are trying to get away from eating gluten. Is that, you know, I've heard people that don't have any gluten in their diet, not because they can't, you know, physically for their body is allergic to it, but just because so they're trying to lose weight. Is that a good idea?
Well, the cutting gluten out of your diet won't necessarily equal weight loss. So it does depend on the other foods that you choose. There are lots of gluten replacement types of foods. So there's, if you still want to eat bread, you could find gluten-free bread. It won't necessarily help you lose weight if you're just trading out one thing for the other. Now, if you're overall lowering the amount of food that you eat in a meal or cutting down in your portions because you're just leaving out the bread but eating the rest of the meal the same, then you would see weight loss with that.
Because don't you have to have some like carbs for your brain activity?
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of not giving up all of your carbs.
Okay.
Yeah, don't go carb free.
I can tell you because I tried it, and it was like, whoa, I'm not even thinking right. So I gave that up.
Yeah,
but it was just to, like I was telling you on the break, being a diabetic, you know, you don't want to have a lot of carbs. So I was trying to cut down on my carbs, but yeah, you can't go without carbs.
Yeah. Well, I don't recommend it. I mean, there are reasons to do it, of course. To me, it's too extreme. And you do, there are so many choices in carbohydrates. So instead of eating, you know, white bread or crackers, let's say, why not choose something like quinoa or couscous or even like sweet potatoes or spaghetti squash, or, you know, there's all kinds of other choices than, you know, what are processed carbohydrates versus real whole grain, good for you that have solid nutrition carbohydrates. They're also, as far as from the diabetic standpoint, they're also a lower glycemic, which means they enter in your bloodstream slower. So, you don't get that blood sugar spike or the rise in insulin, which is what most of us would have.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to work on that.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting up my beer. And I don't drink enough of it to worry about. I mean, I might have one beer, maybe two a week.
Well, that's moderation.
Yeah.
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 That's the way to go. Nothing wrong with that at all.
No. I know that. And I do notice that I will get bloated when I drink beer. And some beers are worse than others.
Right.
I know one particular one, which I'm not going to mention, but when I drink it, I really just get, and it's like, okay, I don't even touch that. I go to a bar, I see it on the menu. It's like, no, I don't care if you don't have nothing else. I'm not drinking that one.
Yeah. So you know, every food or drink has a consequence, whether it's what we consider to be an unhealthy consequence or a healthy consequence. So there's, like I mentioned earlier, there are foods that make us feel better than others or worse than others. And even in this case, choosing one beer over another makes a difference in your life.
Okay. So how does a busy person fit in exercise or other healthy things that that way, you know, they can incorporate
into their well, we talked a little bit about earlier going that gung-ho, all or nothing, you know, someone going in and never exercise or not having exercised for a long time and then suddenly wanting to go in and do everything. So I'm a big proponent on doing small increments. So I have lots of clients that just do 10 minutes of exercise a day because it's something that's doable. It's too short to talk themselves out of. Anyone can suck anything up for 10 minutes. And it's about getting into the habit. So creating the habit is more important than doing the hour or you know, the hour every day is very unrealistic for people. But doing 10 minutes every day is enough to get you started on the path to success because you're setting aside the time. It's not too much time. You can make it happen if you really want it to.
Yeah.
And it does set you up for that. Okay, you're doing a little bit every day, a little bit every day. And then if you want to increase the time, it's very easy to do because you mm-hmm. already set aside the 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So right. implementing things in small increments, I'm a big proponent of, because it doesn't have to be unmanageable. You'd be surprised how much weight you could lose if you set aside 10 minutes really? To walk every day. Or, you know, if you have a step tracker, like a Fitbit or another mm-hmm. brand, you know, just paying attention to your steps. So your exercise doesn't have to be time blocked to be effective. So you can actually make a difference if you park farther away from your front door, mm-hmm. or your office door, or take the long way around at work, or take the stairs, those kinds of things.
And even for that parking spot in the very front.
Right. Get the one at the way back of the lot. And, you know, get moving and take a few minutes to, you know, even if you take every hour and just do a short walk around, even if you work from home or the office, just do a loop before you sit back down again is a great way to get activity in. Movement is really the key. It doesn't necessarily have to be exercise per se.
Okay, because that was going to be my next question. And a lot of times you hear that you have to get your heart rate up. And I know in 10 minutes, that's going to be very hard to get your heart rate up for enough time to burn anything. But like mm-hmm. you said, just getting up, doing something. And I think that's what's wrong with America. We have gotten so lazy because everything is, you know, so readily available. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it earlier where in the 100 years ago, we had to go out and hunt and fight and everything else for our food. Now, you know, we can order it on the phone and have it delivered, and we barely have to get off the couch.
Right. Walking to the door isn't the same as going out for a hunt. it is great to get your heart rate up and all those things. Those aren't necessarily incorrect, but I'm coming from a standpoint of doing something is better than doing nothing. Yeah. And I see so many people that say, I don't have time for exercise. I don't have time to eat healthier. They aren't willing to put even small amounts of time because they haven't been taught that they can put in small amounts of time mm-hmm. for a big effect. So, mm-hmm. You know, we're coming out of a lot of what is advertised in the fitness industry is more, 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 harder, harder, harder. And if it sets up that all or nothing mentality.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, if you can do some things, you're more and have wins at those, mm-hmm. that success creates more success. And that person will start to not only do the 10 minutes, but maybe they're doing 15 minutes. And then maybe they're also, you know, setting aside 2 hours on a Sunday to make a few lunches. And it all starts to build from there.
Okay.
So that's where I'm going with the something. Start somewhere.
Move.
Yeah.
All right. I got you. Well, we're got to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll be wrapping this up with Sherry, and she can tell us how you can get a hold of her if you need her help. And so stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, and you're watching The Father Show, and we are talking today about how to eat normal and live happy, and we're here with Sherry Mentico, who is a wellness professional success coach and also a fitness trainer, and she has really been enlightening us on a lot of different things today, and I know we've talked about the bloating and the getting up, at least doing something mm-hmm. in a day. You know, even getting up from your desk and walking around their office is something better than just sitting at your desk all day. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. But what do you see as the reason people have such a hard time sticking to goals or resolutions?
Well, I think it's because we get sidetracked so easily. So it's easy to say, you know, it's January, right? There's lots of us with goals on our minds. So it's very easy to let life get in the way. Life is busy. So if we don't stay connected to those goals and keep them in front of us and look mm-hmm. at them regularly and really stay in tune, like not just what is my goal, but what does it really take to get to that goal? Mm-hmm. Did a course a couple of weeks ago about goal setting and really how to focus in on the habits that lead us to the goal. So example would be if the goal is to lose 10 pounds, mm-hmm. you need to look at your habits and say, well, what are the habits that I could do to get to that goal weight? So that would be, you know, maybe changing a few things about my nutrition and exercising regularly, even if it's just 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
But we also need to look at the habits that might keep us from that goal. So, every night at 7 p.m., I crave chips, and so I grab a bag of chips and I sit down to eat them. So that would be something that would, you know, go against what you say you wanted. So yeah. how do you manage those things? Now, I'm a proponent to say don't give up the chips completely, but maybe you'd have the chips in a bowl even if it's every night or a few nights a week, to whatever's manageable for the person. And then, both of those things have really got to come together.
So you're saying to cut it down, because you tell somebody you can put it in a bowl. They get one of the big Jethro bowls no. and pour a whole bag of chips in it and say, hey, she said one bowl.
Yeah, that's, you know, I've heard that with people with wine. How big is the glass? So, okay, every package food has a serving on the back. Mm-hmm. So you definitely want to actually measure it out. I recommend people measure it out.
But you know, some of those, I get frustrated because yeah. some of those servings are like, you know, it's like this. It's just real small. It's like, what yes. am I going to do with that?
True. So it's also different between body size, right? So a rule of thumb is using your hand as a portion control. Mm-hmm. A carbohydrate portion for me is, for everyone, is really the size of their fist. But okay. obviously my fist is a lot smaller than yours mm-hmm. because I'm a smaller person. So mm-hmm. my portions would naturally be smaller.
To fit your body.
Yes. So okay. you want to also take that into consideration. So if you're a bigger guy, you can get away probably with two portions of chips then, you know. And if your body's been taking in a whole bag, mm-hmm. I mean anything less than the whole bag, you're going to have improvement.
That's
so
true.
Even if you had a quarter of the bag, you'd be ahead of where you were.
So you're saying a person can take out two chips and put it aside, and the next night take out four chips and put it aside?
Well, technically, yes, that would work.
It's less.
Yes.
Less than what he had.
Less than what you had.
I've gotten better. I don't eat potato chips as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I haven't had any probably over a week.
So that's good. Unless you feel deprived.
No. I don't.
Did you replace it with something else?
Beer. No, I'm only kidding. And no, just eating better, you know, for the most part. I haven't replaced it with anything that would make it worse.
Got it. So a lot of times that evening snacking, it's a very common thing. You know, it's kind of the letdown from the day. It's almost a nightcap with food instead mm-hmm. of alcohol. So it's kind of like that. I'm winding down. I want something to enjoy. So it's TV and food. So sometimes that's triggered by that fact. And sometimes people have cravings because they haven't actually eaten properly throughout the day. Yeah. So, one of the biggest things I see with a lot of weight loss folks is they've undereaten during the day, and so they overeat at night. So if they turn that around and eat a good breakfast and a good lunch and maybe have a snack or two in there that are healthy, they get to the end of the day and the bag of chips or the evening snacky thing isn't such a big deal because their body's satisfied.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Mm-hmm. It's good to know. I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to do it. It's not really a goal of mine for, say, this year, for 2017, I'm going to eat better. I try to do it anyway, every day, all the time. And I'm not putting a time frame on it. It's just eat better.
Eat better.
That's really it.
Well, if that's your motto each day and, you consciously see the choices in front of you and, are regularly choosing better, then it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like I said, I'm not a big sweet eater. I'm not a junk food eater. I used to eat a lot of junk food because I was in sales and out in the street and, trying to find something to eat is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. So I end up eating a hamburger or some other kind of food that is really not good for me. And I know it, but it's like, okay, what else am I going to eat? Because there's nothing in my surroundings that are worthwhile.
Right. And that's something that people get really, stuck in that location, or if they're really busy, they don't take the time to say, okay, well, what else is around me? What else could I have? Mm-hmm. Is it as simple as going to the grocery store and popping in and grabbing some healthier, foods at the deli, for instance, or things like that? Or are there healthier restaurants that may not be drive through, but they're fast?
But sometimes, it irritates because you want to eat healthy, but eating healthy costs so much more than eating unhealthy. And
it can, yes.
Do
you
it.
Can.
Yeah.
So it's important, though, if you don't eat, if you don't invest now, it's sort of like you're investing now for your future. So if you're not eating well now, you will pay for it later in illness, inflammation.
So doctor bills and
surgeries. And absolutely. Those cost a lot more than, maybe a few extra dollars here and there to eat healthier. And you definitely spend the money where you can, of course. You want to just pay attention to.
And eat as wise as you can with the money that you have.
Absolutely.
Okay. So how can our audience get a hold of you?
Well, you can find me at dietterminator.com. That's my website. So if you want to get started with me on a health and wellness plan for you, the first step is really a discovery session where we go through and just figure out what's kept you from being stuck in the past and how to overcome those things. Mm-hmm. And choose to work with me or not. So we work nutritionally. I can help you with exercise routines and those kinds of things to keep people on the right track. So that's probably the best way to contact me. And my email is Sherry, spelled Shari, at dietterminator.com.
Excellent. And that information will be on our YouTube video that we are taping right now. So you'll be able to find that. If on the audio version, Sherry mentioned the information. So Sherry at dietterminator.com.
That's right.
Excellent. And I like the name of it, too. I like the Terminator, and I think so. So that is really going to be our show today. And Sherry, I really appreciate you coming in and being a part of the Father Show and our Father Show team and teaching us how to eat better and exercise so that we can live a healthy life and a happy life.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure meeting you. So that is going to be our show for the day. And I thank you for joining us. This is Mike Thompson. I'm the host of The Father Show. And I'm looking forward to having you back next week. And we'll have another guest on. And we're right here on Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Or you might be watching us on YouTube / The Father Show, and you can find us on Facebook. And also, don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on the Facebook page, and you never miss another episode. There's always something good, and we don't just cater to men. We want to make sure women, our wives, our girlfriends are taken care of as well. So, Sherry, thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's
been a pleasure, and I look forward to having you back one day.
Excellent. Would love to come back.
Okay, good. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for today. Thank you for joining us. Please tell someone else to join us as well for next week. And until then, have a blessed week. Love you. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Portions of this program are made possible in part by listeners like you and by Winston Hills Ribs and Stuff, 5090 East Arapahoe Road, Centennial, Colorado. For more information, if you're in the Denver metro area, give them a call at 303-843-6475 or visit the website at www.winstonhillsribsandstuff.net.
By The Modern Gladiator, an online men's lifestyle magazine featuring straight-ahead, hard-hitting articles geared at today's modern male. For more information, visit the website at www.themoderngladiator.com.
This program was produced by CTK Media Services.